incumbent upon each one of us to take control of our own health. What I've learned in the last 25 years of my research and education is that most, if not all, symptoms are due to inflammation.
Hey, welcome to a truly enlightening episode of the I Am Pain Free podcast. Today, we're diving deep with Elizabeth Yarnell, whose extraordinary journey through battling multiple sclerosis has led her to a profound discovery about health and nutrition. Diagnosed unexpectedly after waking up, blind in one eye, Elizabeth's story is not just about survival, it's about thriving, right? Facing daunting predictions about her health, she chose a path less traveled, right? Radically transforming her diet and lifestyle. You're going to love this episode. Join us as Elizabeth shares how these changes not only halted the progression of her MS, but also ignited her passion for helping others understand the power of controlling inflammation through, guess what? Diet, what you eat, right? What God put on this earth and what you ingest really makes a difference. And she's a living proof of that. So whether you're facing chronic illness or just seeking ways to improve your overall wellness, Elizabeth's insights are a beacon of hope and empowerment. Tune in, discover how you can take charge of your health today. Let's welcome Elizabeth. Hey everyone, this is Rob. Welcome to the latest episode of the I Am Pain Free podcast. Today is an exciting one. We have Elizabeth Yarnell, and you're going to be just flabbergasted when you listen to her story. As I read it, it's just what she's doing is so spot on to the mission that I have trying to help people naturally and faithfully. She's just an awesome person. Jeez, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, Rob, I am so excited to be on this podcast. Thanks for bringing me in.
You bet. Just, I love for people to be able to just tell their story. What got you to where you are today? And then I'll start digging in and asking you a bunch of fun questions from there.
So really, my story started way back in 1999 when I went to sleep as usual and I awoke blind in my right eye.
Wow.
And pretty quickly, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and the MRI showed 17 scars on my brain. And that first episode, or what we call a multiple sclerosis exacerbation or attack, was of optic neuritis, which actually came with a lot of pain in my eyeball.
It was imagine.
Inflammation of the optic nerve. And I ended up going completely blind in that eye for a time. I got some of my sight back eventually, but that's what really started me down this road, because the neurologist that I saw said I had two options. I could take one of the three injectable pharmaceutical drugs that were available, all of which were toxic and had significant side effects. And low efficacy, which means they weren't really sure if they were going to help, none of which were meant as a cure, because medical science believes multiple sclerosis is incurable. But the hope with these drugs is to slow down the progression, because the way that multiple sclerosis progresses, it is a progressive degenerative disease of that affects the nervous system and how it communicates with the rest of the body. And most MS patients, or the typical progression of multiple sclerosis, is a straight downhill slope. Yikes. Into more and more disability until eventually you die because you're so disabled.
Brutal. Yeah.
It was
so brutal. That's where you, back in 1999, that's what you thought your progression was going to be based upon the doctors you were working with and recommending your path forward.
So they said, you can take one of these drugs and you can slow it down and live with all these terrible side effects. You can hope to slow it down. It's not going to cure it, because they don't understand why MS happens, and they don't think there's a cure. Or you can do nothing and get there faster.
Yikes.
That's basically what they said.
Like, none of those sound like very good options.
Regardless, they said 80% of MS patients experience significant disability within 10 years of diagnosis. Wow. So here I was literally just about to turn 30 years old at this time, and learning that by the time I was 40, I was probably going to be in a wheelchair.
Brutal. Yeah. That's no fun. That's no fun at all.
No fun at all. Like most people who receive that kind of diagnosis, I literally went home and cried for weeks. But when I pulled myself out of my bed and started trying to figure out what could I do to make my future better, because obviously it means the most to me, more to me than to any of these doctors. Yep. And the doctor said, there's nothing you can do. You can just basically go home and wait for this to happen. And I thought, I can't do that. That's the most depressing thing I've ever heard of. And that's just not the kind of person I am. It was my then fiance at the time that he was a competitive athlete, and he was the first one who suggested that maybe I ended up where I was because my diet was so bad. And I had to admit he was right, because at that time, really for that entire decade of my 20s, the only staple foods I kept in my apartment were Crystal Light, Diet Coke, and gummy bears.
Now that's a combo.
So really a recipe for destruction of your body with no nutritional value at all.
Right.
I hadn't really given any thought to my health at all. I had a lot of different hats I was wearing, none of which had to do anything with health. But this knocked me by the wayside. And so that's when I started studying about diet and nutrition and how what you eat affects how you feel and how you function. And I learned, wow, you know what? I never learned any of this stuff growing up, even though I come from a medical household. My father is a neurologist. My mother's a psychologist. My stepmother was a physical therapist. So there was a lot of medical stuff or knowledge happening in my growing up years, but nothing to do with what you ate.
It's just interesting I've been doing a lot of research on this, the medical industry and field the last couple of years, because I've just become awake to all this stuff just in the last few years. But it's been just incredible to me how that is just like totally skipped over, that our nutrition and even the recommended nutrition that they teach people is wrong. It's like, what? It's like, what the heck? It's incredible. So sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to
edify. Right. So my father went to medical school in the 50s, right? 1950s. So a long time ago.
Right.
He didn't learn anything about nutrition. But my brother, who's also a neurologist, went to medical school much more recently. And he'll tell you he had one class in medical school that was like a semester or even half a semester about nutrition. And it was orthomolecular nutrition, which is great, which is all about nutrients. But that's not anything to do with foods,
right,
or diet,
right. Yep.
Or anything like that.
Yep.
And even today, and he eats terribly too.
Yeah. And they're taught. That's one of the issues with our medical system, is they're really trained very well in a really narrow topic, right?
In pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, and it's all pharmaceutical based. So it's not only are they specialists in one area, they totally ignore the human body and its nature. So I love.
They're not trained to cure. They're trained to alleviate pain and suffering.
Yeah.
Which is what pharmaceuticals do. They either suppress the entire immune system so that you don't have the symptoms, but they're still there. They're just being suppressed.
Right.
Or they're intended to dampen the pain receptors so that you don't feel the symptoms. They're still there, but you don't feel them.
Right.
So there's nothing about curing in our medical world. And do you know why our medical system is like this?
I would love to hear your, I have an opinion, but I'm super excited to hear your opinion.
I have some facts. So around the turn of the century, around 19, the two of these new oil barons, basically, Andrew Carnegie and Nelson Rockefeller, they were bringing up oil out of the ground, and they said, how can we maximize our profits with oil? And they had chemists working on, especially Rockefeller had chemists working on creating things out of oil, and they created some pharmaceutical supplements that we call medicines. And he said, oh, this is great, but how are we going to convince people to take these pharmaceutical-based medicines? That's not how the world was at 1900. There was all sorts of healing modalities. There was homeopathy. There was traditional folk medicine. There was healing herbs, all sorts of things, but nothing to do with pharmaceuticals. So they commissioned something called the Flexner Report. Have you heard of
Go girl,
it?
go girl.
So the Flexner Report basically demonized any kind of healing practice or any kind of modality that wasn't pharmaceutical based, and basically said it was all witchcraft and it was not modern science. And then they took it a step further and they went across the country and to all the medical schools that were there or healing schools, and they said, we will fund you if you agree to only teach pharmaceutical-based healing modalities. And the ones that agreed were funded, and the ones that didn't were driven out of business and went out. And so now there's fewer medical schools for teaching healing practices. And so those medical schools said, we don't have that many spots anymore. We're going to limit this only to white men who can come in and go to our medical school. So no women, no African Americans, nobody but white men can come and learn medicine. We're going to elevate this and put these medical doctors up on this pedestal above other members of society so that they can demand money and they can demand respect and they can push these pharmaceutical-based medicines.
That is incredible. I love the way you explained it because that's exactly what my research has found as well. So it's just really fun to hear you explain it in a different way than I explain it, but very almost exactly the same. The one thing that I like about that research that I did was the where they came up with the term quack. That's during that same time frame where they vilified anybody who was teaching natural medicine, and that's where they came up with the term quack. Just like right now, the word conspiracy theory is very similar, right? They made up this term to vilify people who were doing their own research. And the quack thing, just I always heard it. In fact, my brother, even just like within the last 6 months, my oldest brother was telling him I went to the chiropractor, and he's, oh, you're going to a quack. And I'm like, see, it's still prevalent. It's
No, it's still out there for
so
sure.
crazy. But anyway, so I love that you gave that background because it's so true. And we are in this environment where people aren't looking at the holistic practices. In fact, one other fact about the thing that you mentioned is back then in the early 1900s, there was probably 50% of our practitioners were holistic practitioners like yourself. And there was lots and lots of them. And now there's 0.1%. It's like it's almost nothing in comparison to the other doctors. And then they took over the medical school, the schools like you mentioned. It's just incredible how that ch changed our whole trajectory on our medical system. So they're much more interested in a pill for an ill rather than treating the person as a whole. So let's jump to you went through this thing, you started doing this research, and you're like, oh my gosh, maybe I should change my diet. So continue on with that.
My diet and learning what I was doing wrong, basically, in terms of which was everything. In
That
terms of
darn Diet
eating
Coke. I used to love
the
that
Diet Coke. Yes, but and not only that, like I was either eating fast food or eating at a restaurant. I never cooked at home. Again, I didn't have any food in my house besides the gummy bears. But so I started looking at diet and realizing that I didn't even know what a healthy diet was. So I started reading books. This was back again in 1999, really the dawn of the internet.
too.
And so I read books like by the ADA and the Mayo Clinic. And really, what it looked to me like, what everybody was saying was that whole foods were better than processed foods. And that if you could just try to avoid processed foods and stick with whole foods, you would be a lot healthier. And I thought, okay, I think I can do that, except for I didn't know how to cook. So I started watching the Food Network and going to cooking classes, but I pretty quickly realized that when you're cooking from scratch all the time, it's very time and labor intensive. And I had multiple sclerosis, so fatigue was a real issue. And coming back after a dinner that I spent hours on to a kitchen full of dirty dishes was not appealing, even though I was pretty dedicated to this idea. So that's actually when I became an accidental inventor.
Say that again. What? I love
an
it.
accidental inventor.
I love it. I love it.
We had received a cast iron Dutch oven, as a wedding gift. And we thought, oh, this is a really cute little pot, but I don't know what to do with it. I've never had anything like cast iron like this. And then one night I was watching a late night infomercial, and this man came on and he had this countertop appliance, and he said, you can make your whole meal on this one countertop appliance. And he puts in dry rice and a can of tomatoes and then a metal grate, like a barbecue grill type grate. And then he puts chicken breast on top of that and then another metal grate and then brownies on top of that, covers the whole thing with a dome, plugs it in and turns it on.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
but
I want
I don't
one of
have
those.
One of those. And I don't have any money to buy one. And I thought, I didn't have those metal grates. And I thought, maybe I could do something similar in this little cast iron Dutch oven that we had just received as a wedding gift.
Right.
And so I went over to my oven and I thought, I bet that countertop appliance he had probably got pretty hot. So I didn't know how to cook. I turned my oven on to 450 degrees. Again, if I knew how to cook, you basically only cook bread and pizza at 450 degrees.
Right.
But I pulled out frozen fish fillets out of my freezer, and I had some fresh vegetables and herbs, and I threw them all into my cast iron Dutch oven and put the lid on it, put it in this 450 degree oven. And in about half an hour, it just smelled like dinner. And that just became the way that we cooked. And then I had my college roommate came, and she stayed with us for a week. And I at the end of the week, she said, will you please teach me how to cook like you cook? And I
really
said, you saw me do it. I just throw everything in the cast iron Dutch oven. And she says, I think there's a little bit more to it than that. And so that's when I sat down and one of my hats before this was as an instructional designer. And so I wrote what I consider to be an instruction manual. And you can see behind me, that's my cookbook on the wall back there.
Oh, cool.
But I ended up getting this technique patented. Nobody had ever written down this particular cooking technique before. So I have two patents, and the cookbook has sold more than 70,000 copies, and it's really just an instruction so you can do it yourself.
That's so cool. I love that story. That's fantastic. So how long ago was that? When did you create the cookbook?
I published the first version in 2005.
Okay.
So a long time ago.
Right.
And then I was feeling better, but I was really starting to become more interested in natural health once I realized like how far just changing my diet could take me.
Right.
And so I started taking classes and workshops, and I ended up getting my doctorate in traditional naturopathy. So I'm a traditional naturopath.
Nice.
And then I opened my clinic online in 2011. Helping people design customized anti-inflammatory diets for their chronic inflammatory issues like multiple sclerosis.
Right. So that's such an amazing story. So how long did it take for you when you started eating healthy for you to feel better and for your MS to get better?
So in the beginning, again, my father's a neurologist. So he was quite insistent that I take one of the injectable drugs,
right?
Which I did. And I had terrible side effects. I had for 3 years, I had hives all over my entire body. Like a good day was 30 hives and a bad day was 300 hives.
Ugh.
And then finally, towards the end of my time on this drug, when I would inject it, I had to inject myself every day. And I'm a huge needle phobe, but I would inject myself and I would have a seizure before the needle was even withdrawn.
Wow.
And finally I realized, you know what? My body is telling me very clearly it does not want to be on this drug. And against the wishes of my father, again, who is a medical doctor, I stopped taking any drugs in right around 2005. So okay. I think by that point I've been working very hard on changing not only my diet, but my environment, everything from my laundry detergent to stop using dryer sheets, to stop using air fresheners, to all of the toxic things and starting to read labels on foods and really cleaning everything up. So how long did it take? I tell people there's a rule of thumb in the world of natural health that says for every condition, it takes a minimum of 2 months for healing to happen. But to those 2 months, you add another month for every year that you suffered.
Yeah.
So I had probably been having some MS symptoms maybe for 10 years.
Wow.
So it took, I'm going to say 3 years.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But I was feeling better all along. But it did take about 3 years for that whole transformation
Right.
maybe to complete.
That's so neat. And look at all the, look what you learned during that period. So it sounds like the first year or so was really rough because you're still doing the pharmaceutical path and while you're learning about natural health, right? And food and how to cook food and how to eat proper. And it's neat that you, through that education, you went so as far as to look at your environment and all the things surrounding you. Because that is so important these days, is looking at all the things that do affect our health. It's much more than just our food. If our food is super, super important, right? And I think a lot of people ignore that. But then you start looking, like you mentioned, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, right? The toothpaste we put in our mouth, the laundry detergent we use in our clothes. It's just amazing how much bad just toxins are in our environment. And there's, unless you wake up to that problem, like you with having a significant problem, right? With a huge life event that you had to just say, hold it, I need to make changes. It happens so gradually to people, like it took 10 years for it to finally hit you. I think that's what a lot of people are waking up to. I think the pandemic has woken a lot of people up and they said, hey, there's something wrong with our medical system. There's something wrong with the way they're vilifying our doctors. There's something wrong with a lot of things. And now I just see this big insurgence of people like you and I who are trying to help people and trying to figure out ways we can live naturally and faithfully and live a much more vibrant life, all right? Because how much have you felt better when you started transitioning from having MS to not?
It's a radical difference, right? I don't feel like I have MS, although I can remind myself very easily by eating the wrong thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah, very easily. But it is... We live in a toxic world, and if you are not aware and you just go on blindly assuming that somebody is out there making sure everything that's around us is safe, then you're heading for a disaster because it is not. And I actually did a TEDx talk about this in 2014 called Toxins in Our Everyday Foods. And just talking about, there are so many issues. All of the additives and preservatives that are in our food supply, all of the synthetic chemicals that are really petroleum-based at heart. Our bodies evolved on this planet to eat and thrive on the foods that are grown and that exist on this planet, not on something that comes from 2 miles beneath the surface.
Right.
That evolution never planned on accounting for that, putting that into our bodies or on our bodies. And I think that's a big part of it, is all of these petroleum products that have really invaded our world. And the European Union has approved, I don't know, something like 3,200 chemicals. No, it's 320 chemicals that are approved for use in the European Union. And in the United States, it's like 3,500. And they're not really approved, and none of them are tested for safety. And because in the United States, our government is really set up and structured for profit, to assist citizens in making a profit, not for keeping citizens safe.
Yeah, they're not interested in our health. And it's obviously very evident with what's happened the last few years, right? It took that pandemic to wake me up to this issue. Since then, I'm 100% living a different life, where I've gone back to from my story. Early on, I read a book called Eat to Win when I was a runner, when I was young.
Oh.
And that book, so I learned then how important food was to my running. But then dumb me, right? I went the world way for decades, right? And then the pandemic hit and then I started doing all this research. I'm like, duh, I learned that when I was young. Why didn't I keep doing that? But I think the Lord has been just training me for such a time as this. I'm learning and understanding what's happening and where we're going. And just it's so amazing to meet people like you. So what are you doing now? And how are you doing this for full time? Or what are your plans? And how can we help you?
I'm in the midst of writing my next book,
is
really about inflammation. And what I've learned in the last 25 years of my research and education is that most, if not all, symptoms are due to inflammation. And if you look at whatever's bothering you, so I had optic neuritis when I was diagnosed with MS, and that means inflammation of the optic nerve. It was very painful. Inflammation is always painful. So if anything that is called an itis, that's medical speak for inflamed or inflammation. And if you think about any issues you might have, whether you have pain in your knee or you might call it arthritis, right? That's another itis, inflammation. Any issues you might have, if you can find at the base, which you can if you look hard enough, that there's inflammation, then I think that what we need to do is address the inflammation, not the symptom. So instead of saying, oh, you have MS and you have Lyme's disease and you have arthritis and we're going to give you all different ways to live, no, I think if we can just focus on removing the inflammation, the symptoms actually just go away because the symptoms are only there to show that there's inflammation there.
Right.
So my next book is about inflammation and multiple sclerosis and other autoimmune conditions. And I'm working on that. I thought I was done, but it turned out it was just the first draft.
That's exciting. So what do you think the timeline is now?
I'm not really sure.
Really?
I'm hesitant to even say. But okay. In the meantime, I have my day job is called the Inflammation Academy.
Awesome.
And that is an online environment where I work with people depending on your level of commitment, your level of investment, how far you want to take it to learn about all these different places, all these different ways that your body is being triggered for inflammation and that's causing you pain. And then how can you release that inflammation, get rid of those triggers naturally and live pain-free.
Nice, nice. That's fantastic. So for people to find that, how do they find your academy?
So it's theinflammationacademy.com is the Inflammation Academy. You can sign up right there at any level that you're drawn to. Or you can go to my primary website, which is elizabethyarnell.com, and that kind of will feed you into lots of the different activities that I'm involved in and all my social media and all of that kind of stuff.
Fantastic. And so I will make sure to include the links to those. But if you want to try to remember, it's Elizabeth, and then Yarnell is Yarnell, correct?
Yes, you got it.
Very good. Very good.
.com.
.com. Yeah. So Elizabeth, and it just spell it like it sounds. And then Yarnell
with
two L's .com. And you can get to her website. She's got some amazing resources there and lots of good content. And you go just watch her speaker reel is really cool. She's been doing this and speaking around the world on these topics. So she's very well thought of and respected. And just thank you so much for taking the time. Cause I'm real excited to get people to, I'd love for them to join your academy and learn how to reduce inflammation. Cause you're spot on. Everything that I'm learning about this is the inflammation is one, it's a huge problem in our world. It's, I think one of the stats you mentioned in one of your talks was like 30% of the population has some type of inflammatory disease and or issue. And you know, my research is very similar in respect that like 50% of seniors have inflammation and or chronic pain in some one way or another. And so it's a huge
Which
problem.
Which are the same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So it's a huge problem, huge issue. And the great thing is you can go to ElizabethYarnell.com and find out some resources as well as the inflammationacademy.com, right?
And, yep. And we can talk about just sometimes it's as simple as stop drinking diet sodas.
Right. Yep.
That can really make a huge difference in how you feel and function in your life.
Yep. And I think when I was in college, even though I was a collegiate athlete, I still love Diet Coke, right? So I was just like, what? You start learning how bad those things are. And it's wow, just incredible.
And it drives me crazy because I see on television and doctors and nutritionists who say, oh, yeah, we have an obesity epidemic in our world. And so people should really switch to diet soft drinks and that would help. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that is the worst advice you could ever give anybody.
Yeah.
And obesity is really just excessive inflammation.
That's right. That's right. And then the aspartame that's in it is just, that's another rabbit hole. If you want to go do another fun research, just research aspartame a little bit and see how that came about and see how that actually got approved. And you're going to be enlightened to some corruption in our society when you go research just that particular drug in and of itself. That should never have been approved.
And it's GMO, and aspartame poisoning can mimic things like multiple sclerosis to begin with. So yes, no, aspartame, what an evil thing that is. And wow, what a great marketing job they did on it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They're so good.
In the 80s, that was like the best thing ever. Oh my gosh. Aspartame equal all these things revolutionizing our world. And I bought into it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
I was a child of the 80s.
Yeah, so did I. I was a runner, so I was like, oh, I can't drink Coke, but Diet Coke, sure, that's gonna be much better as I'm poisoning myself. But
and then if you have a Diet Coke addiction, you don't even notice the aspartame taste anymore until you quit that addiction. And then now I had a sip of Diet Coke a couple of years ago, and I spit it out. It was so disgusting. How do people drink that? It's so gross tasting.
Right. It's so funny how your body adjusts to it, and you just becomes, oh yeah, that's the taste that I enjoy. And people like that taste rather than the sugar taste. So bizarre.
Well, and then of course our sodas nowadays, which happened in around 1981, are all high fructose corn syrup sweetened as opposed to cane sugar sweetened, which did coincide with the beginning of our obesity epidemic and heart disease, all kinds of things.
Yeah, you could look at those memes that have the one meme of the beach in the 1960s versus the beach today. And it's just, what? The human body is changed dramatically. And it's just it's really sad. But hopefully with your help and my help, we'll start and continue to educate people on these issues. And I believe the Great Awakening is happening, both from a faith-based perspective as well as just a health perspective, that people are realizing that, hey, there's something wrong with this and I need to maybe take a look at my health and to start taking ownership of my own health. And the awesome thing is they have this podcast to help them, and they have all of your resources and what you're doing to help them. So I'm excited to get your book and learn how to cook that way. That's like super, super cool. So I'm excited about that. And just thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you, Rob, because I agree that getting the word out there to that people can be empowered in and of themselves. They don't have to wait around for a doctor to decide what to do or what to prescribe, what pharmaceutical to prescribe to them, or even more research to be done for the magic drug to come around. Right. There's so much. And in fact, it's incumbent upon each one of us to take control of our own health and educate ourselves and recognize that only we have the power to heal ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And so my faith-based approach to this is that God made the world amazing. He made our bodies amazing, and he put everything on this earth for us. And if we can eat things like you mentioned, the whole foods, and we eat them naturally, he's given us the ability to do that. So let's get back to that. Get back to eating healthy, getting back eating the right foods, and your body's going to transform. Just start doing your own research and take control of your health, because you can do it. And it's not as hard as it sounds if you just start drinking the right water. Drink healthy water. Don't drink tap water. Make sure it's good and filtered, right? And start getting enough of the water in your body, getting the right nutrients in your body. And how do you get the right nutrients? You use the whole foods, right? You use natural foods, all the things that Elizabeth knows so, so very well. So that at least gets you started. And then you can get on this transformation to look at how you can reduce your inflammation, which she is so spot on that that's the actual cause of so many problems in our society today, that if we can go fix that root cause, go fix the initial problem, which is inflammation. And when you can do that, all those symptoms and problems are going to go away. So look at how vibrant she is now. And just think when she was 30, right? She was blind in one eye and had hives, 300 hives all over her body trying to get rid of it. But look at her now. So just thank you for what you do. And I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Rob. I think it's so important that we have podcasts like this out there talking about these topics because they're not being talked about in doctor's offices.
That's right. That's right. So eventually we'll change that, and hopefully the all natural health practitioners will be 50% of our doctors and practitioners again, like it was back in the 1900s. But we can only hope for that. But hopefully the doctors and the medical systems will wake up that they need to start treating people as a whole rather than just a specialty.
Yes, it's few and far between the doctors who are going back and educating themselves on what they're calling lifestyle medicine.
Right. Yep. So let's hope that happens more and more often. And the whole pharmaceutical big pharma issue is just such a big problem because they have so much money and they fund so many things and they can squash these conversations. They can cancel this message being distributed. So everybody here, if you learned something today, make sure you share it and get Elizabeth's book out there. Get her program, find out more about what she's doing and share it with everybody that you know and love. And you're going to help them live a much more vibrant and healthy life by doing so. So.
I agree 100%
awesome.
here.
Yay. All right. Thank you so much. And we're getting anything else you want to share with the audience, Elizabeth?
I would love to invite anyone who's interested and who's listening if they feel like maybe inflammation could be sabotaging their health and their life. They're welcome to check out my inflammation quiz. It's at inflammationinvestigator.com and it's free, but give yourself 10 or 15 minutes because it's pretty extensive. And that will give you your personal inflammation score and let you know how much inflammation is in your body and how it could be affecting you and in ways that you aren't even aware of.
Fantastic. So say that one more time. Inflammation.
Inflammationinvestigator.com.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll make sure I have that one in the show notes as well. So great. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us today. And we will hopefully have you back on and we'll investigate some of these exciting things that you're doing. And when your book is released, that you come back on and we'll talk about your incredible new book. It sounds exciting.
I will definitely let you know. I'm excited to do that.
All right, very good. All right, signing off from the I Am Pain Free podcast. If you enjoyed in this episode, you might be expecting a sales pitch for, a pain relief solution. But here's a pleasant surprise. I'm offering a 3-episode pop-up podcast absolutely free. This exclusive 3-episode private podcast series is packed with more value than many paid programs out there. And getting access to this is a breeze. If you're listening on your phone, simply open up your text messaging app and send the word pain free, it can be one or two words, to 41 pain free. So that's 417-246-3733. Again, that's 417-246-3733. If you're not a fan of texting, no big deal, right? Just visit impainfree.com. Super easy. Impainfree.com. You can access this private podcast series instantly for no cost. All right? This isn't just any podcast series. We call it Beyond Pain, the triple B blueprint for pain-free existence. It really is a treasure trove of secrets, expert interviews, and a resource vault, all aimed at guiding you to live pain-free naturally and faithfully, right? That's my passion. It's a rare and value-packed resource that we're thrilled to share with you. So don't wait. Just grab that cell phone, grab your text messaging app, type pain-free in there, and just send it to 417-246-3733. Or, like I mentioned, go to iampainfree.com and unlock this exclusive content, all completely free. God bless.